Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gets it, the lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7, The Game.
Middleton has the ball. Near sideline. Throws in to Giannis. They look to double him right away. Puts it on the deck. They do double him. Portis left alone. Topside three. Good. And that's how it's gone for Golden State tonight.
Too much Giannis, too much Chris Middleton, too much Bobby Portis, and too much Milwaukee Bucks, especially late in the first quarter and on into the second quarter of this ball game tonight, which winds up being a 118-99 victory for the Bucks over the Warriors. John Dickinson with Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570, the phone number to participate in the program. If you want to shoot me a text or give me a call, a little Warrior fan therapy tonight as the Dubs fall to 0-2 on this road trip, back-to-back second end tomorrow in Chicago before playing in Minnesota on Sunday to wrap up this trip. And the Warriors have lost 4 of 5, another loss without Draymond Green. If you count the Cleveland game, Warriors suffer their 5th loss with Draymond Green out of the lineup. And Golden State, they do reach the halfway mark at 30-11 as the Warriors now halfway to a 60-win season. But they were on pace to maybe have a chance to do a little bit more than that, although I think that would have been I think the pace that the Warriors had been playing on when they were 18-2 and really before the last couple of weeks, I think 12-9 since then, I think that pace and the 60-win pace or the high 50s to low 60-win pace is probably a lot more emblematic of what this team ultimately is going to be. Another night for Klay Thompson as he gets back in the fold, but just nothing really going right for the Warriors in this one as the Bucks took it to them. And sometimes I think you do have to look at the other team and look at their position in where they're at in their season. And the Milwaukee Bucks are the defending champions. And I thought tonight the Bucks played this game with a sense of purpose, with a sense of force, that they really wanted to make a statement to the Golden State Warriors. And they did it. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis having their way early. Middleton got going late first and on into the second quarter, and the Warriors weren't making shots. Typical tune when the Warriors are turning it over. Almost looked as if they were gonna get by. They were gonna skate essentially in that first quarter, late in the frame, down 9, and you're thinking, wow, for the Warriors to play as poorly as they did, to only be down 9. They might have to, at that point, consider themselves grateful, but the Bucks were able to have a push at the end of the frame, and they pushed it all the way up to 37-21 at the end of the first quarter. And at that point, you thought, okay, the Warriors played a quarter in which they probably should be down 16, and then it was just all Milwaukee in the second, a 40-17 second quarter. And it was as ugly as we've seen any stretch of basketball that first half for the Warriors, second quarter in particular, but really beginning with the last couple of minutes of the first quarter. And the Warriors find themselves down at the break, 77-38. Better second half, but the Bucks able to send a statement to the Golden State Warriors that they're a team that, you know, they're a team that's the defending champ, and the Warriors, I know they didn't have Jrue Holiday, the Warriors didn't have Draymond Green. We've seen the Warriors send some statements to teams like Memphis and like Phoenix and like Utah, and I think, you know, tonight it was the Bucks, even with the Warriors shorthanded, wanting to come out and put their imprint on it for future notice if these two teams wind up playing each other again down the line, as will be the case inside Chase Center later on in the season, and as could potentially be the case if the Warriors take on the Bucks in an NBA Finals. So your thoughts on this one tonight, just a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, and the Warriors have found themselves over this last stretch of games just so woeful on offense that the defense hasn't been able to hold them up and keep them in it as it had in some other games. There's been a handful of games this year where the Warriors haven't played great offensively, but their defense has been so elite that that's been able to keep them in the game long enough to where if they can make some shots, that they can steal a game or win a game essentially with one great quarter. But that's not the case and wasn't the case for the Warriors and probably isn't going to be the case against the elite teams in the league. It especially isn't going to be the case against the elite teams if you're not going to have Draymond Green in the fold as well. So 888-957-9570. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr here coming up in just a moment from Milwaukee. Give me your concern level for this team right now with the 4 of 5 losses, with the 30-11 record. Still, I think big picture, you have to look at the fact that you probably were always going to go through a rough patch in terms of acclimating Klay Thompson back into a rotation that had been so effective without him. Not to say that the Warriors, you know, didn't need him or anything like that. Obviously, the ceiling for this Warriors team moves up exponentially as Klay works his way back into form. But knowing that he was going to be on the minutes restriction, knowing that it was going to have a short-term impact on the rotation, and they were going to have to figure out how to get him into it, figure out how to play with him, and then you lose your top playmaker in terms of the offensive side of the ball and the heart and soul of the team and Draymond right in conjunction with that Klay Thompson return, and you're not out shooting your mistakes, which is another thing that the Warriors at times have been able to do this year. Have enough games where there are enough people knocking down the three ball that you hang in a game that way. And lately, defense maybe not quite there. The offensive rhythm in terms of the shooting hasn't been there. And then you couple that with turnovers against a very athletic team, and the Bucks were able to put it on the Warriors in a big time way in the first and second quarter. So 888-957-9570. We will get to the news of the day as it pertains to James Wiseman, the report from Anthony Slater of The Athletic about maybe why his return has been delayed, some mid-season grades at this point, because I think the question is really twofold right now. It's how are you feeling about the 4 of 5 in the loss column for this Warriors team, albeit without Draymond Green for most of it, and then how are you feeling overall about a first half that I think by far has exceeded the expectations that this team had coming into the year. And, oh, by the way, as you look toward the second half, this team still very much has an opportunity to recapture what they had rolling in those first 20 games. And the ultimate goal is to do that maybe in the last 15 to 20 games of the season and build a whole heck of a lot of momentum toward the postseason. So we'll get into all of that coming up. Some midseason grades. We'll give you an all-star voting update as well. And we'll definitely get to the phone calls and get to the text messages as well. Let's get Doug and Berkeley in before we hear from Steve Kerr. Doug joins us at 888-957-9570. What's going on tonight, Doug?
Hey, how are you? How you doing? So
good.
I comment on the game. I would say there are no excuses for this game performance tonight. We were without Draymond, but they were without Jrue Holiday. No excuses. And in the bigger picture, everything you said, I'm not going to get super worried, but the shooting for this team has really not been there, and someone needs to address that. I have a theory about Steph, maybe kind of harebrained, but, you know, he's bulked up. He's more, you know, muscular. He's stronger. He can take more contact. But I think that maybe has affected his muscle memory just a little bit, because he's missing a lot of shots long, and he's done stuff that, like, you never see, like him shooting air balls. So, you know, I don't know if his training team might want to just take a look at that. But as far as the whole team goes, I think the shooting, something's got to give. We got to take a look at the shooting. I know we'll come out of it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and look, this is a team that has a lot of really good shooters. And you look at Steph Curry tonight, another 4 of 11. It's very rare you see him at minus 25. In the first half, it was minus 34. And he winds up 4 of 11 tonight. So did he start to snap out of it? I mean, I guess not. I mean, tonight I think is more of a one-off. And then you look at Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson now 3 of 11 in the ball game tonight. So he hasn't really had a good shooting game yet since he's returned, and this is game three. So he's got a 3 of 11, he's got a 5 of 13, and then you go back to the game against the Cavaliers, and he's got a 7 for 18. So Klay Thompson at this point is still struggling to find it. And then others who had been pitching in, I mean, Andrew Wiggins of late, and he was the lone Warrior that was able to be putting the ball in the basket with some consistency in the first half of this game when everything else was going awry. But you look at Wiggins of late, and Wiggins, you know, six of 11 tonight. He's had it, but he hasn't had the three ball going as well. Did knock down 2 of 5 tonight. Did shoot it at 50%. Didn't knock down a three in the game against Cleveland. But Wiggins and Porter and some of the others that had been knocking down the three ball at a high clip, you know, they haven't necessarily been as consistent. Where on one night, it almost seemed like the Warriors every single night were getting a different player that was pitching in, that was hitting three or four, that was hitting some timely ones, and was really helping to push things forward. And so they haven't been getting it from the other places as much, but then they also haven't necessarily been giving it or getting it from Steph Curry, and everything begins and ends with Steph and Curry. All right, 888-957-9570. Robin in San Francisco is next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Robin.
Hey, JD. I hope you'll get dinged for this, but sometimes you just get your ass kicked, JD. There's no answer.
Yeah, you're right.
But, I mean, you know what I mean? Everybody's always looking for a reason. Was it hard to watch? Yes, it was. But let me ask you something, Jenny. We've always, in the past, had problems, I'm talking even on the run, with teams, with size and length. We know that the Warriors are undersized. I think people lose sight of the fact of given the roster construction, given the money, given what we can do, you know, we're just in a pickle. And I want to ask you personally, I feel like I know you personally. I've met a lot of people, but I haven't met you yet. I'm not surprised. I kind of saw this coming, or felt it would come, because remember, I've been on these airways saying, listen, what's going to happen when they can't count on Curry? Where is that consistent second? You know, where is that going to come from? And I just want to ask you personally, JD, does this lack of offense scoring surprise you? Did you not think this would happen? Peace out, my friend.
Appreciate the call, Robin. I thought there would be. I'll put it this way. I'll start with Steph. I'm surprised that Stephen Curry's slump has lasted as long as it has to this point. I would have thought he would have had a couple of games to where it looked like, all right, he's going to snap out of it. That's coming down the line. So I think if he had had a couple of games, you know, even one or two over this stretch where he's been colder than maybe he's ever been for an extended period, the Warriors maybe have another win or two. And we're having a different conversation if this team's 32-9 right now at the halfway mark and on pace to win 64 games. So that being said, I do think that the times were coming where the others were maybe not going to make shots as consistently. Because, look, I'll openly admit it, I didn't see the first half that Otto Porter had coming. You know, I didn't see Andrew Wiggins, although I thought he could continue to be the player that we saw him be a year ago. I didn't see Andrew Wiggins coming out and shooting a career high from three-point range and shooting in the 42% range in terms of threes. Like, I didn't see him becoming a catch-and-shoot monster from distance. So, you know, Gary Payton the second, you know, I didn't see him shooting the three ball as teams dare him to do it at the clip that he has to this point, and then others pitching in here and there. So if anything, I would have thought that the others would have been less consistent and that Curry maybe would have started to bounce back a little bit quicker. But what's happened is it's all really come together at once in the negative form to where Curry's not getting it rolling. The others are hitting a little bit of a cold spell as well. The defense isn't necessarily quite as good. And you're also playing without Draymond Green, and it's adding up to losses at a point in the season where, oh, by the way, you're also facing a really difficult stretch of schedule. So I think it's, you know, that's part of it too. You're playing Memphis again now without Dre. You're playing Milwaukee now. You're going to play in Chicago, who's playing great in the Eastern Conference, although Brooklyn was able to beat them last night. So it's all kind of catching up at a point that traditionally is the dog days, and you're trying to figure out Clay. So I just think there's a lot going on. But to this point, I would have thought that there would have been more offensive struggles than there's been collectively for this team than there has been, but it's catching up with them a little bit over the course of the last week. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors fall to the Bucks. Golden State now 30-11. Milwaukee, they improved to 27-17. And look, Bucks didn't have Holiday. The Warriors didn't have Draymond Green. But if the Warriors are able to go in there and win against Milwaukee without Draymond Green, that would have been a major statement. I think it's a big-time statement the other way for the Warriors to be able to do that. All right, let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following this one as the Warriors get thumped. What does he have to say about the latest on Gary Payton the second's injury? We'll get to that. And also, any plans for any guys to maybe rest tomorrow night in Chicago, second of a back-to-back? Here's the head coach.
To be honest, I'm not that concerned. I know we just got our butts kicked, but we're just in a rough patch in our season. It happens to every team every year, pretty much, with very few exceptions. And we're in a little bit of a rut. So, and we played a team that was ready and, you know, played a great, great first half. And so we're a little out of sorts, and we just gotta get back on track, and we will.
What's kind of the key to getting back on track, do you think, right now?
Well, it starts with defense. You know, we gave up 78 in the first half, whatever it was. It's impossible to win a game, you know, and to get an offensive rhythm if you're taking the ball out of the net every play. So second half was a much better effort. You know, I know the game was already out of hand, but our response was great in the second half. The guys kept playing. I think, you know, 3 minutes left, down 20, and I'm looking at Chioza and Juan and D-Lee, and they're diving all over the floor, and J.K. pushing the ball and you know, really getting after it. And, you know, we kept playing. Belly, we kept playing hard, and that's the name of the game. You just got to keep competing, and we'll find it again. But, you know, right now we're a little out of sorts, and we just got to weather the storm.
You mentioned there's 78 points. You guys hadn't really had, like, a bad defensive performance all season.
Yeah.
I know a lot of it was their personnel, but what was the problem from you guys?
Yeah, I mean, number one, give them credit. I mean, Giannis was amazing, and, you know, we were sending a lot of help, and he was finding shooters, and, you know, Portis got hot. Several guys made threes, you know, Allen and, Connaughton came in, made threes. Middleton got hot in that second quarter, so or late first. So they played a great game. So we weren't well connected, and we weren't rotating really well. But as I said, they really executed and spread us out. I think our defense overall has obviously been really good. We're number one in the league in defensive rating. So I'm not concerned about our ability to bounce back and defend at a higher level.
Flip side, offensively, in the first half, what do you think was the main trouble?
Well, I think we've lost a little confidence as a group. You know, that you could see we had a lot of open shots that weren't going, and we were kind of hanging our heads, and then they're making everything. It was just one of those nights. And when you play 82, once in a while, this stuff happens. So I've seen it every year that I've been in the league. And it's part of being a competitor is once in a while you get your ass kicked, and it's humiliating. It's no fun. And it's all about how you respond. And as I said, I think the way we responded in the second half was indicative of who our team is, who we are. And we got another game tomorrow night, so we'll bounce back.
Besides Clay, do you have any rest plans tomorrow night?
Well, Gary won't play. Obviously he had the injury tonight. Other than that, no plans to rest anybody.
Are you confident that Draymond will be able to return like early in the homestand, even if he doesn't join you on the trip? I mean, I don't know. What's your just feeling on?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to Rip the last couple of days. I just know that they've been rehabbing and I haven't checked in since yesterday. He told me yesterday that Draymond was doing well. So, next time I check in with Rick, probably tomorrow, and we'll see how that's going and hopefully get Draymond back soon.
Do you have any more information about Gary? Is there any concern?
It's always a concern when somebody gets hurt. Back tightness was all I heard. So we'll see how that goes.
Steve, this is the kind of game where a lot of times the coach will say, just throw away the tape. We won't even watch it. But I'm watching this game and I'm wondering, is there anything that young guys like James and Jonathan can learn from watching the way Giannis plays and what he does?
Yeah, I mean, you look at where Giannis is now and you think about him as a rookie, that's how you got to think about JK. Total inexperience. Not much knowledge of the NBA, not much understanding of what's going on yet, but that's exactly where Giannis was a decade ago, or whatever it was, when he first came into the league. I thought JK was fantastic tonight when he got his minutes in the fourth quarter. He really sprinted the floor hard, which we've been asking him to do. He used his athleticism, and I don't know that there's a more athletic, more physically imposing player in the league than Giannis. And he's learned how to use that athleticism and that size to really take over games. So there's plenty for our young guys to pick up, watching him play.
Yeah, and Jonathan Kuminga, I think one of the bright spots, getting an opportunity to get out there some low pressure minutes tonight for the Warriors. But Steve Kerr, in line with Robin in San Francisco, our fine caller earlier this segment, sometimes you just get your ass kicked, and that's what Steve Kerr had to say in response to this one as the Bucks beat the Warriors 118-99. As far as tomorrow goes, Warriors going to be without Draymond Green. And the hope is, of course, that he'll be able to return early on that road trip, although not really any definitive information from Steve Kerr with respect to that. No Gary Payton II tomorrow, so we already know that. In addition to Klay Thompson, Gary Payton with the lower back stiffness, so he left the game, did not return tonight, already ruled out for the game tomorrow in Chicago, and the Warriors announced before the game, Steve Kerr, that Klay Thompson would not play the second of the back-to-back tomorrow. Now, Otto Porter Jr. Has not played in back-to-backs yet to this point. So Steve Kerr had said no plans to rest anybody. We'll see if that is in line with Otto Porter Jr. tomorrow. But then you look up and down. I mean, nobody played an exorbitant amount of minutes. Wiggins 27, Curry 29. So that actually sets the Warriors up a little bit to be able to be a little bit more fresh, I think, for tomorrow. But there's no doubt not having Gary Payton hurts in that game against Chicago. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll continue here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. We'll hear from Juan Toscano-Anderson. We'll hear from Kevon Looney as well. And we'll get into just some of the midseason grades for this Warriors team as they hit the midway point, 30-11. It's all coming up here. Warriors wrap up with John Dickinson on 95.7 The Game.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Off a screen. Crossover dribble. Gets to the paint. Goes up and flushed it down. Rodney Hood wanted no piece of that. Just backed away. And Jonathan Kuminga with a big-time bucket for the Warriors.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
And Jonathan Kuminga, 15-7 tonight. He was 5-for-16 in his 19 minutes playing more than he had been of late in the blowout, as the Warriors do get blown out tonight by the Bucks. 118-99 is the final. No lead changes in this game. It was tied at one point, but the Bucks led by as many as 39, and that was the halftime lead that Milwaukee had at 77-38. And they go on. They beat the Warriors tonight to send the Dubs to their 11th loss on the season. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr, as we played the audio for you before the break, not that concerned. Not that concerned. Got their tail kicked, but a rough patch of the season. And it happens to every team. How you feeling about those comments from the head coach? And now how you feeling overall about this team being 30-11 at the halfway mark? Man, time flies. Already at the 41 game mark for this 2021-22 season. 41 to go, and a quick turnaround for the Dubs as they'll be in Chicago tomorrow with no Gary Payton, obviously no Klay Thompson or Draymond Green, as they'll try and bounce back and get back to their winning ways, as they have dropped now four of the last five games, going back to the ball game in Dallas a week ago. 888-957-9570. The other big news before the game was the reporting from Anthony Slater of The Athletic with respect to James Wiseman. And I think this plays into today for two reasons, really. Tonight was the kind of game, and Kevon Looney had a couple of fouls pretty quickly. And look, nothing was working for the Warriors. They weren't hitting shots. They were turning the basketball over. The Bucks were making everything. And look, just a better team on this night were the Milwaukee Bucks. But the one thing you do see on social media, and you had a few people text in on the Comcast Business text line at 888-957-9570, that tonight was the kind of night where having another big, or having somebody like James Wiseman more specifically, could really help the Warriors. And Anthony Slater of The Athletic with the reporting just before the game that James Wiseman had arthroscopic surgery on his knee in mid-December. So he's continued to rehab, having that surgery to relieve swelling as he continues to advance toward getting cleared for contact. But everybody kind of wondering why, going back about a month or so ago, he hadn't been cleared for contact. And it just seemed like the timeline had been slowed, and nobody really had a good reason or answer as to why. But Slater digging into it, according to his sources, as Wiseman was not cleared for full contact, and then wound up, even though the Warriors saying the rehab was going well, it was stalled by that surgery. So interesting there in a year where I don't think it's time to write off James Wiseman and what he could maybe have, you know, help the Warriors, you know, in this season with. But I do think we probably need to pump the brakes on just the level at which James Wiseman could probably, like, I look at a game like tonight, for example, and I just don't see where James Wiseman would be playing other than a bit role, to be perfectly honest. Like, you know, maybe 6 minutes here in the first half, maybe 6 minutes in the second half. Like, I don't envision James Wiseman for this season. Not a statement of what his career is going to be, but I don't look at a game like tonight and think, well, Wiseman's going to be out there handling Bobby Portis, who's stepping out and knocking down threes and having his way, getting to his spots on the interior for turnaround jumpers. Like, I don't see that. I don't see James Wiseman going toe-to-toe with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, so on a night where the Warriors do need things that a big man can provide, I think we need to temper the expectations, and I think Wiseman, with what I would characterize as a mini setback, although I think his return is still going to fall into the timeline, maybe the longer end of a normal timeline as he comes back from the meniscus injury. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, anytime the Warriors lose and they get handled on the interior a little bit, it's, well, Wiseman can help them with that. And I just think the true answer is we don't know how much Wiseman can help them. And Wiseman in and of himself is going to have to be reacclimated and brought back in. And then it also leads you down the path of, well, if Wiseman can't help for this season, then do you have to maybe go outside the organization to try and find another big? But how many big man minutes are you really going to have for somebody from outside the organization? Because it's not like the Warriors, you know, their traditional go-to is to play smaller against bigger teams, and especially teams, I would say, you know, like the Bucks, they're going to try and play smaller. Look, Giannis is going to end up playing the five if these two teams play in meaningful games, you know, going into June if they're playing in the NBA Finals. And it's going to be I think a lot of smalls versus smalls at that point. But I do think it's interesting when you look at the injury to Wiseman as he continues to work his way back, and it's potentially taken a little bit longer than anticipated. The Warriors also quiet about that surgery too, which I found to be interesting. Obviously not wanting to have people get overly concerned by it, as Anthony Slater wrote, a previously unreported surgery needed because of minor swelling, yet persistent swelling. I'm quoting Anthony Slater's story. Wiseman needed a scope and a cleanup in mid-December, flushing out some loose bodies, according to his sources, which slowed the anticipated comeback. Slater went on to add in his piece, not uncommon, and he referenced Russell Westbrook, who in 2013 had been out and seemed like he was going to be ready. He went out in April of that year and seemed like he was going to be ready for training camp, but had some persistent swelling and wound up having to have another surgery, the cleanup procedure, even though the meniscus had been held. And at that point, so it is not totally unprecedented or uncommon, but a setback, I think, nevertheless. And I think a setback that doesn't limit whether James Wiseman can come back and be effective. But I do think, I mean, we're looking at the midpoint of the season tonight. We're looking at being about a month away from the All-Star break. If he's right back before the All-Star break, a couple of games, or after the All-Star break, or right at the All-Star break, at that point, I think you have to really wonder how much James Wiseman can work his way into being a factor for this team over, let's say, the last 20, 25 games of the season, as somebody that's played so little, even going back to before he was in the league, and then say, all right, this guy's going to help you win playoff games. Like, I just, it seems to me, and not an indictment of the kind of career that he's going to have by any means, but it seems to me like it's the kind of thing where it's just you'd be hard-pressed to say that he's going to have a major impact. I don't want to dial it completely out for this season, but how much of an impact can he really have for this Warriors team this season? It feels like even with that news today, the potential impact that he could have for this Warriors team this season, it gets lessened a little bit. And I was in line of 12 to 15 minutes a game, I think, probably on the good nights, in the most meaningful of games. And now you probably take a little bit off of that, and you just kind of wonder, because we're seeing Klay Thompson need time. James Wiseman is somebody with as little experience as he has, he's going to need time as well. So I think, again, concerning in its own right and on its own level, but we'll have to see what happens with James Wiseman here moving forward. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here on Warriors Wrap-Up, a 95.7 The Game. Let's get Greg in here on the phones. Hey, Greg, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Well, that was quick. So my question was, early in the season when they were on that roll, I was talking with another friend of mine that's a Warriors fan and was like, is this record real? Because a lot of the teams, the big teams that they played, seemed to be shorthanded their best player. And I'm thinking, like, the Nets when they played them. And I just was wondering if you'd looked into that at all in some of the timing as to when they played, you know, some of those big wins that they had early in the season. You know, I'm thinking specifically the Suns, and I think it was Booker went down early in the first quarter. You know, like, could that be a factor of what we're seeing? And then you get the best shot, and so when the other team's making shots, it tends to suck some of the air or life out of the team. Anyway, I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think, look, the win at Brooklyn was impressive as hell. The Warriors, yeah, Booker did go out in the first game against the Suns, and then the Warriors beat him in the second game. The Suns basically beat him the first game without Booker playing, really. He played the first quarter plus a little bit. But look, the Warriors went in and they won in Phoenix without Draymond. They went in and won in Utah without Draymond. They won in Phoenix without a bunch of players as well. So I think, and those teams were fully loaded on those nights. So I think the Warriors missing some players has impacted things as of late, but the schedule getting more difficult has impacted things as well. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, this is not the schedule that they played when they were 18-2. And you look at it now, and they've gone from 18-2 to 12-9. More difficult schedule, but the thing that I don't think can be erased is the impressive wins that they do have. Like, if you were telling me that the Warriors had the record that they had, and then you take two away, and the two that you take away were the games in Salt Lake City and the game in Phoenix on Christmas and New Year's, respectively, and this team was two games worse than they are, and they didn't have wins in those games, then I'd be saying to you, okay, well, maybe it is, you know, they padded their record to a more significant extent, but that's not the case. They've won in Brooklyn. They've beaten Memphis, even shorthanded. They've beaten Utah. They've beaten Phoenix. They've beaten the best teams in the league. This is their first matchup with Milwaukee, and we'll have to see what happens in the second matchup. Hopefully Jrue Holiday and Draymond Green are both able to play in that one. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified, as it is Warriors wrap up with John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game, as the Warriors fall to the Bucks. Ugly one tonight for Golden State, 118-99. Back in action tomorrow against Chicago. Let's hear a little post game sound. We are going to hopefully hear from Steph Curry at some point, but let's hear from Juan Toscano-Anderson following this one as the Warriors get thumped in Milwaukee.
I'm not concerned at all. I mean, we're human beings, and it's a long season. I mean, nobody's perfect. Does it suck to lose? Of course. Does it suck to lose that bad? Of course. But, I mean, we got another game tomorrow. And so nobody wakes up and is perfect every day, and today was a bad day for us.
What areas do you think kind of need to be sharpened for?
I don't know. We couldn't hit a shot today, so maybe we need to get some shots up. I mean, for myself, I've been shooting like shit from the free throw line, so I need to shoot more free throws in practice, obviously. But I just think it's basketball, man. Some days are going to be harder than others. Some days the ball's not going to go in for you, and that's natural. So I think once we just find a little groove again, it's a long season. We're playing really well at the beginning of the season. Now we're going into a little slump or whatever people want to call it. But I don't think it'll last long. We got great players on this team, and we got a great coach and great organization. And, you know, in regards to everybody that's involved and, you know, coming out to compete every night. So I'm not too concerned. I think we'll respond.
What have you identified as the offensive issue? So that's not just tonight, but the last kind of stretch you had.
I think we got to get more stops. We got to get back to being the best defensive team in the NBA, because when you get stops, then that leads to easy buckets in transition. And you're not playing against a set defense every time. So I think that will help us tremendously on offense if, you know, we can get more stops and hold our opponents to one shot as opposed to giving up offensive rebounds. Because, I mean, that's a spirit killer. You're playing defense for, you know, 20 seconds and you're trying to play hard defense, and then you got to play defense again for 14 seconds. So, you know, just rebounding what they had. Oh, well, they only have 5 offensive rebounds tonight, but, and they have 49 defensive rebounds. So that shows you how much we missed. So I think we just get more stops.
It feels like you guys might be losing a little bit of confidence. Does it feel that way to you?
I can't speak for everybody else. I can only speak for myself. So I had a little block in regards to shooting the ball. I saw the ball go in at the end of the game today. So for me, that was good, getting reps, seeing the ball go in, even though we lost. But like I said, it's a long season. So I try to carry that rhythm and that confidence over into the next game and, you know, shoot the ball much better than I've been shooting it. So, yeah, like I said, I can't speak for everybody else. But for myself, yeah, I did. I was having some issues shooting the ball. So, but I made some shots tonight. So that's the bright side, silver lining.
You guys had a pretty relatively stable rotation early in the season. Lately, obviously, health and safety protocols, Draymond in and out, Clay's now back. How much are you seeing maybe just like the role rearrangement kind of maybe impacting the
Well, that's the gift and a curse of being on a champ or a championship caliber team, a deep team. You got to figure it out. We got to figure out what our best rotation is. We got a lot of guys who can play. And then obviously we all knew things were going to change when Clay came back. I mean, Clay has earned his stripes, not only in this organization, but in this league. So, you know, just all of us figuring it out. And of course, like I said, we want to win every game, but the fact of the matter is it's 82 games in the season. You're not going to win every game. But you prepare each and every game, you know, for what's most important. And most important is, you know, the end of the season in, you know, April, May, June. So I don't want to say this is a trial run for us, this game, but that's what the season is us figuring it out and figuring out what our best five is. So, you know, when it really matters and it's for all the marbles, we put our best five out there.
All right, so Juan Toscano-Anderson there, a lot to chew on from him. And, yeah, the Warriors have had different rotation, and they were always going to have a different rotation with Klay Thompson back in the fold. But then Draymond goes out as Klay comes back. And I thought it was interesting a couple of nights ago when you had Steve Kerr talking about how the Warriors need to refine their identity here during this middle stretch of the season. I felt a little strong for a team that's played as well as this Warriors team has, at least up until the last week where they've dropped four of the last five. And I also think it should be pretty clear once Draymond comes back and once Gary Payton II gets healthy, who is playing and who's not. And I know at times maybe, you know, Steve Kerr can muddle that a little bit more than it needs to be muddled, because he does typically like to play a little bit of everybody here and there. And he does like to tinker with different groups and combinations and players. And while I'm all for allowing players that maybe haven't been playing to get a little bit of a run to try and keep them from, as he's put it, rotting away on the bench, I do think at some point you have to decide what your main rotation is and then who your other bit players are going to be that aren't always going to be in the rotation. And I would have thought, and look, the Draymond injury, I think, has wrecked any semblance of real reality as far as, you know, holding him to that. But I would have thought at this point that the Warriors would have been a little bit closer to, all right, knowing who the players that are going to be playing were going to be. But it's probably a little bit early and a little bit premature to totally have that thought when Draymond isn't back yet and when Klay Thompson still tonight is playing 20 minutes, although he did have, what, a couple of five-minute runs and then a lengthier run in that second half with the Warriors getting blown out. So 888-957-9570. A couple of text messages to get to the Comcast business text line. 650, if Wiseman was in today with no Draymond, result would have been the same. He can't guard a big man like Giannis. 707, why are we just now finding out about Wiseman's mid-December surgery? A month later, why didn't the Warriors announce it at the time? That's a great question. That's a great question. And I think clearly they didn't want the fan base and maybe some in the media to panic about it. I think they know that there is already a tremendous amount of expectation, maybe a little bit too much expectation as far as what Wiseman can provide. And I think there was an anticipation, a belief that he was going to be ready pretty soon into the season. And then that wasn't going to happen, I think, by the normal nature of the rehab and conditioning process and leading back from the meniscus injury. And I think they didn't want to have to acknowledge until things were on track off of that surgery, which it sounds like they are, according to the Anthony Slater reporting. They wanted to get through that to know they were on the other side of that and he could get himself cleared for contact. And now I feel like they know, and then that's where maybe it leaks out. But at the same time, it also could just be Anthony Slater, you know, being a damn good reporter and digging into it and finding it when maybe the Warriors didn't want it out there even at this point. But yeah, that is a little bit of a surprise, and it is telling that the Warriors didn't just announce that it happened when it happened. And it tells you that they didn't want maybe some of the bad run that would come from that, or the perception of it being a more significant setback than maybe it really is. So I think that's a part of this as well. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're going to hear from Steph Curry coming up. We're also up against it as far as a break, as we've been going here for the last hour. And Whitey Gleason's going to step in as we get into Kolsky and Company as well and join me. And we're going to keep the conversation rolling all the way to 10 o'clock. We'll talk some Warriors. We'll also talk some 49ers as we get closer to them taking on the Dallas Cowboys. But Steph Curry coming up as well, as we'll call an end of the Warriors wrap-up portion of the festivities for tonight. But we will hear from Steph. Bucks beat the Warriors 118-99. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.